Hello, this is David Whetstone, producer and host of We the People. I join with staff and programmers to thank you, the listener, for supporting us during our recent fund drive. Quarter by quarter, for 46 years, the music, the message, the wisdom, and the story will continue. Thank you.
Season where we appreciate our families, both ancestral and contemporary. On January 8th, the Bethesda African Cemetery will make history. We will present oral arguments before the Maryland Supreme Court, and you are invited. On September 26th, you're invited to a celebration entitled The Grace of Gratitude. To learn more, stay tuned. Good morning and welcome to What's at Stake. I'm your host, Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo, and I'm with you the fourth Wednesday of each month. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish our entire WPFW family Happy Family Day tomorrow. I pray that everyone will be blessed throughout this holiday season. In terms of people in our community that have demonstrated an unrelenting commitment to the struggle for fairness and equality, our first guests are well known to the WPFW family, attorney Steve Lieberman and Kristen Logan. Mr. Lieberman and Ms. Logan are attorneys at the Washington, D.C. law firm of Rothman Big. They represent BACC in legal matters against the Montgomery County Housing Opportunities Commission, or HOC. It is really the brilliance of this legal team under the direction of Steve Lieberman that has paved the way for BACC to become the first descendant group in the nation to argue before a state Supreme Court. This accomplishment becomes even more impressive when one realizes that the court only hears 15% of all cases submitted for its decision. In other words, 85% of all cases submitted to the Maryland Supreme Court are not heard. This is an incredible accomplishment for our legal team. So good morning, Steve and Kristen.
Good morning, Marsha. Thank you for having us on your program.
Good morning. Good morning, Kristen. Attorney Lieberman, why don't we start with you? Could you provide background for our listeners who are learning for the very first time that that you and your colleagues will be arguing before the Maryland Supreme Court on the desecration of one of the most significant and important African burial grounds in the world, Moses African Cemetery. Could you provide background on this? How did we get to the Maryland Supreme Court stage?
Sure, I'm happy to do that, Marsha. Thank you. This case concerns the Moses African Cemetery. It's an African-American burial ground just off of River Road in Bethesda. And the location is significant because the Bethesda area was home to four slave working camps before the Civil War. Those plantations initially grew tobacco, and when the tobacco ceased to be a profitable product in the area, some of them were converted to breeding grounds for individuals who, when they reached a certain age, were then sold down south. And after emancipation, there grew a very vibrant Black community in the River Road area. People really don't know that. Now there isn't much of an African-American presence there. It's a very wealthy community, very prosperous community. And there are really very few vestiges of the historical antecedents. But one of those important vestiges is the Moses African Cemetery. But if you go to River Road and you try to find the cemetery, you're not going to see it. There's no white picket fence. There are no gravestones. There's no sign. There are no benches. There are no fountains. There are no areas for people to contemplate the graves. And that's because back in the 1960s, the entire burial ground was destroyed. It was erased. In connection with the building of the Westwood Towers apartment complex, the burial ground was bulldozed. The gravestones were knocked down. They were pushed to the side and ultimately disposed of. And all signs that there was a burial ground there were removed. During the bulldozing, occasionally bodies would pop out of the ground, sometimes full bodies, sometimes parts of bodies. When that happened, the bell would ring and the work would stop. Somebody would come and take the body, put it in a truck, drive it away for disposal. And after that happened a few times, it was decided by the people doing the construction that the best thing to do was to encase the whole burial ground in asphalt, which was done. And since the late 1960s, the burial ground has been a parking lot. There are 200 bodies under that parking lot, and every day cars of the residents and visitors to the Westwood Towers apartments come and park on top of those bodies. And that's been happening since the late 1960s. So this case relates to, you know, what should be done? What should be done to remedy this terrible desecration, this terrible travesty? And the BACC back in 2000, and I want to make sure I have the dates right. Back in 2001, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of BACC, on behalf of the Macedonia Baptist Church, the pastor of the Macedonia Baptist Church, Reverend Shaguna Adebayo, and three descendants of people who were buried in the Moses Cemetery. We filed the lawsuit against the owners of the parking lot, Montgomery County Housing Opportunities Commission. They had entered into a contract, a secret contract, one that they had not disclosed to the descendants of the people buried in that burial ground, to sell the Westwood Towers apartment complex, including the parking lot, to developers for more than $50 million. And we learned that the contract between the HOC and the developer did not contain any restrictions on the developer's right to do what it wanted to do to the parking lot. It could have dug up the parking lot, put another building on top. It could have, as one of the witnesses admitted during the course of the case, they could have converted the parking lot to a dog park, and there could have been dogs walking on top of these 200 bodies, defecating on the ground on top of these bodies. No restrictions. So we brought suit in Circuit Court in Montgomery County, the trial court, and a very courageous judge, Carlos Smith, held an all-day evidentiary hearing. Kristen was one of the lawyers who was integrally involved in presenting the case, along with Colgate and Lawson Allen and Jennifer Simcoe. There were five witnesses presented over 10 hours, including riveting eyewitness testimony from Brother Harvey Matthews. For those who don't know Brother Matthews, he's one of the few eyewitnesses to what happened back in the 1960s. He grew up right near the burial ground, and he saw where it was and what happened. And a big question was, where was the burial ground? And Mr. Matthews testified exactly where the burial ground was, where the gravestones were, and he testified that he used to play there. He used to play there as a kid because the parks in Montgomery County were segregated and he couldn't play in the parks. So he and his friends played in the burial ground. The testimony was very compelling. And at the end of the hearing, a couple of months later, Judge Smith issued a 50-page ruling and enjoined the Housing Opportunities Commission from selling the burial ground to the developer unless they complied with Maryland law. Now, this is going to be a big issue for the Supreme Court of Maryland. What's the Maryland law on this? Maryland law and law in the United States regarding burial grounds is, you know, it's not what I would call black letter law. It's not set out clearly. It's diffuse. It's found in all sorts of different legal areas, and the cases go back hundreds of years. But for hundreds of years, the courts in Maryland have said that when you're dealing with a deceased person, I want to use that phrase rather than a dead body, because dead body was a person. When you're dealing with a deceased person, the remains of that person's body, the state has an interest in making sure that that person, the deceased person, is treated appropriately, because they have no ability to protect themselves. They're dead. They don't have any power to, you know, to say what should be done with them. And the cases going back to 1829 say that when that happens, when there's an issue regarding what should happen with a deceased body, the courts have to get involved. Somebody has to go into court, into what's called a court of equity, court of fairness. You know, the same courts that protect widows and orphans. And then the court can decide whether, for example, a cemetery can be sold and used for another purpose. The body's dug up and reinterred somewhere else. And there's even a statute that goes back to the mid-1800s that was put in place when the Archbishop of Baltimore wanted to sell a burial ground that was no longer a burial ground. And the legislature said, the way you do this is you go into the court, and you ask the court for permission to do that. And the court says, okay, who's got an interest in this? Well, the descendants of the people buried there have an interest. And they get a chance to come into court and plead their case and say what they think should happen. And then the court makes a decision. But the Montgomery County HOC thumbed its nose at the process and simply went ahead and entered into the contract to sell. So we sued, and what Judge Smith said is, you know, you can't do that. You can't sell without bringing this lawsuit. And she enjoined the sale of the property. Big victory. Very, very important. Stopped HOC from selling the property. But a lot. Sorry, I've been going on for a long time, Marcia. So I don't know if you want to, if you want me to keep going with this.
Or you've got an important history. I'll continue. I think it's an important history.
All right. So then what happened is the Montgomery County Housing Opportunities Commission appealed the case to the Intermediate Appellate Court of Maryland, which is called the Maryland, the Appellate Court of Maryland. The argument took place in Annapolis. The courtroom was full of people who were showing their interest in this case. People from across the state, religious leaders. But the court took a very, I would call it a crabbed, narrow view of the statute, and said that the statute really wasn't about protecting the dignity of deceased humans. The statute was really just about the rights of property owners, and it provided a mechanism by which a property owner could sell the land, and it could be transferred to the purchaser with what's called clean title, meaning none of the descendants of people buried there, or maybe owners of the burial plots, could sue the purchaser and say, we own part of that land. So they took a very narrow view, and we were shocked. We were really shocked by this, because it was, in our view, inconsistent with 200 years of case law. And so we filed what's called a petition for a writ of certiorari with the Maryland Supreme Court, which is a request that the Maryland Supreme Court hear the case. And as you mentioned, the court hears less than 1 in 7 cases that are the subject of cert petitions. But the court determined this was an important case. It was a case that was in the public interest. We don't know exactly why the court took the case, but we can intuit that, you know, the Maryland Supreme Court wants to put its own stamp on this issue because it's so important for the citizens of this state and people outside of Maryland. And it said, we want to deal with this issue. And so there are two questions in front of the Maryland Supreme Court. One is the statute itself, right? What does the statute require? And the other is the broader question of Maryland law. You know, when you're dealing with, you know, deceased persons, when you're dealing with a burial ground, land that has dead bodies, you know, do you have to go into court and get the input from the court before you can sell that property? And so that case is going to be argued on January 8th in Annapolis in the Supreme Court of Maryland. It's a proceeding that's open to members of the public, and anybody who's interested in the burial ground, or more generally in how does our society treat the most vulnerable members of the society, the people who are dead and can't protect themselves. People who are interested in that issue, they want to come and hear the argument. It's going to be a very important argument, and hopefully we'll get a good resolution from the Supreme Court of Maryland.
Thank you. Thank you for that overview, Steve. Kristen, I just wanted to read Judge Carla Smith's notes, her decision on this, and then ask for your opinion, because I thought her brilliant decision on this issue was really outstanding. She wrote, this is Judge Carla Smith, the court cannot ignore that as early as the 1930s, when construction began in the River Road community, the deceased have been forgotten, forsaken, and their final resting places destroyed, or at a minimum, desecrated. It seems to me, Kristen, that when you talk about the desecration of burial grounds in the United States, it's not a general statement. The desecration is really occurring. It's really occurring at Native American and African burial ground sites. And I wondered if you would discuss your opinion about how cases to the Black community, to the Indigenous community, because clearly if a decision is made at the Maryland state level to allow business interests to supersede the interest of the community, that's a very important decision that's going to impact people throughout the United States and perhaps throughout the world. So could you provide your perspective on that?
Sure. Thank you, Marcia. That's definitely, that was one of the themes actually in our opening brief, that the impact of an adverse decision essentially creates a two-tiered system here. And you're essentially allowing a property owner to go in and decide whether or not they want to involve the descendant community in the decision to sell a property. And unfortunately, that will have a greater impact on marginalized communities like African American communities and Native American communities. And, you know, I think the most direct impact here is obviously in Maryland, and a good decision here will sort of reinforce that the issue here is not money. The issue here is not property rights. The issue here is treating human remains with dignity and respect. But I think also this really stands to have a nationwide importance. As you mentioned, this is really this case is the first of its kind. And it seems like more and more frequently, we see desecrated burial grounds popping up everywhere across the country. And, you know, when this issue pops up in Florida or pops up in Kentucky or pops up in New York, they're going to look to this decision and see, how did the Maryland court deal with this? And, you know, are we going to value the property rights, or are we going to value the dignity of the people that are buried there? And so I do think that this definitely stands to impact not only these communities in Maryland, but also nationwide.
And also, just staying with you for a moment, Kristen, when Steve talks about the fact that, you know, this case really centers around whether or not a corporation has to go to the court to receive permission or a permit to buy land to be used as non-burial purposes. That's a little confusing, I think, for a lot of people. So could you please explain what that's about?
Sure. Yeah. So essentially, where we're at right now, and if the appellate court's ruling is allowed to stand, the property owner, as they interpret the statute, the property owner has a decision to make. They can either sell it without going through the proceeding and risk that the seller does not get clear title there, or they can decide that they want to get clear title and go through the proceeding, which includes input from the descendants. And that way, it's really up to the property owner whether or not the descendant community is going to have a say in this proceeding and whether or not the sale should go through. So essentially, what's going on here is they are giving the property owner complete discretion whether or not to allow the descendant community to chime in about whether or not the land should be sold.
Okay. So Steve, explain also to us, I mean, it seems so clear to, I think, to most people that before you can sell a property, a burial ground, you should consult the descendant community, the people who have relatives buried in that place. And you need to go to some official institution like a court to make sure that everything is done properly. But HLC has a different opinion on that, obviously, which is the reason why they, you know, are engaged in this process. I hate to put you in a position of describing the HLC position, but that's where we're at. Can you describe what is HLC's position against what you're presenting to the public right now?
I would sum up their position this way, and I apologize that this is going to sound a little bit like, you know, what you might hear from a teenager, but essentially they say is, we don't have to, and you can't make us do it. Right? They've got a property that they want to sell. And look, the HOC does very important work. They provide low-income housing. And they're going to make a lot of money from selling this property. And they've simply decided that making that money is more important than treating the 200 human beings who are buried under the parking lot properly and with dignity. And they've decided that they're going to take the position the law doesn't require them to do this. And you know, even after they, let me put it this way. When we started this case, HOC took the position in court that there were no bodies underneath the parking lot. And in court, the evidence was presented, and Judge Smith called it overwhelming that there were 200 or more bodies underneath this parking lot. There was the eyewitness testimony from Harvey Matthews. There were burial records. There were obituaries. There was expert testimony from archaeologists. There were admissions from government officials and emails. And there were even HOC documents where they acknowledged that the parking lot was on top of a burial ground. But they still took the position at the trial court level that there were no bodies there. They sort of abandoned that position in the intermediate appellate court. So the question is, why would a government agency that's supposed to be acting in the interests of the people of Montgomery County take this position where they just don't care about the 200 bodies that are under their parking lot? And I don't have a good explanation for that. I don't know why. I mean, what they should be doing is they should be saying, regardless of whether we're required to do this, we need to find a way to treat those individuals with the dignity and respect to which they're entitled. We need to find a way so that not just the lineal descendants, but people who are members of the community can go and worship, show reverence, venerate, commune with, you know, the people who have passed on. I mean, many religions, my religion requires that, you know, when somebody passes on, if you can, you go to visit the gravesite, on the yard site, on the anniversary of the person's death, or in connection with certain religious holidays. And I think every religion has that. It's important that people maintain their connections with their ancestors. So why they're fighting this issue, I don't know. But they are fighting the issue, and you know what? In a way, it's good that they're fighting the issue, because the Supreme Court of Maryland is going to be able to rule on this very, very important issue. And as Kristen said, it's not going to affect just this case. It's going to affect cases throughout Maryland. It's going to affect cases throughout the United States. And if it's decided the right way, it may also have an impact in other countries who, you know, sometimes look to U.S. courts and say, you know what, that's an enlightened ruling. That's a ruling that we really ought to consider when we're deciding what our law should be. I hope that answers your question.
It does. And without giving away too much of our own strategy, I'm wondering if you can just sort of outline a bit of, you know, how you counter the HOC argument, because I mean they're going into minutiae in many instances in terms of, you know, using words like, you know, we may have to inform, you know, the community or the court, but not really have to do that. So without giving, and we only have a few more minutes, but without giving too much away, let me change the question. Why do you think it's important that the public come to this, to Annapolis and hear these oral arguments? Why is that important for our community to be there?
Right. So I think it's important for the Supreme Court of Maryland to understand that this is a case that has broad resonance and importance to the people of the state of Maryland. That this isn't just a narrow commercial dispute between two litigants, which is most of the cases that courts get. People fighting over money. This is not a fight over money. This is a fight over a broad issue that really affects so many members of our community. People who are religious, people who aren't religious, people who are Black, people who are white, people of every religion. It's important to everybody. And the way I would sum it up is, do you want the law in Maryland to allow the owner of a burial ground to let someone park on top of your grandmother? Mm-hmm. Right? It's very simple. Should the law in Maryland allow, you know, a property owner to decide that they can just have someone park on top of your grandmother? It's that simple. And it affects everybody, and it will affect people for hundreds and hundreds of years. Right. So showing up in the court just to show the Supreme Court of Maryland that you care about this issue, that it's important to you, that you want to see how the court deals with the issue, that's something that really benefits the court. It will elevate the importance of the case to them.
Great. Thank you. And Kristen, one last question. We only have a second, so I'm going to throw out a big question and give you a second to answer it. So apologies in advance. To what extent, Sister Karen, we can hear you actually. That's okay. Kristen, to what extent is this entire process that we're going through now really a legacy of slavery? I mean, according to Chief Justice Robert Taney, Blacks have no rights that whites are bound to respect. So we're in a discussion as to whether or not people should park on top of our ancestors. We're in a discussion as to whether we're still chattel, not quite human, where people have to respect our ancestors, respect us not only when we're alive, but also when we're dead. So I know this is a big question, but if you could summarize, you know, are we still fighting this 1857 ruling of Chief Justice Taney?
Sure, I think that this really ties back to the earlier discussion of the two-tiered system. And in a sense, you know, you're still fighting to get your voice heard. You're still fighting against someone deciding whether or not your voice is worthy of being heard. It's just circling back to that. It's really an issue of, are we going to be heard and on whose terms? But I do think that the light here is that we're in the position now to go into court and use the law to our advantage. And we're in the position now to get the court to come and say, no, that's not how this goes. That's not how we treat people. And we're going to prioritize their respect and dignity. We're not going to prioritize your money. And we're not going to let this become a decision as to whether or not you want to respect their rights. In some sense, a similar struggle. But I think through this process, we are able to utilize tools that we get to have a voice that maybe in the past was suppressed.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to read as we finish out this segment. I thought your brief to the Maryland Supreme Court was elegant. It was elegantly written, beautifully presented. And I just wanted to read one sentence, a couple of sentences. It said this paragraph comes from at the very end of the entire brief. It says the strength of a society is often measured by how it treats its most vulnerable members. There can be no doubt that deceased former slaves are among this country's most vulnerable members. Our courts of equity should provide them with the protection in death that they were not afforded in life. So thank you very much for both of you for the work that you do for this incredible journey that we're on. And of course, we're inviting the entire WPFW family to meet us in Annapolis on January 8th. The oral arguments will start at 10:30, I believe, but we should be in our seats by 10. There is limited seating. So if you're interested in going, please contact BACC immediately so you can get on our list and we will provide transportation to Annapolis. So attorneys Lieberman and Logan, thank you so much for your unwavering commitment to fighting a very difficult battle against those in power and with those who have unlimited wealth. And for those, more importantly, who can no longer fight for themselves. So thank you very much for coming on. And hopefully we'll be able to continue this conversation next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcia. Take care.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
Thank you, Marcia.